This morning we're going to look at one of the parables of Jesus. And the parable, of course, is a story that Jesus told to engage his hearers with a spiritual truth, with a spiritual message, so that they could hear it, understand it, and remember it as he was teaching. When interpreting a parable, it's important to remember that not every single element in the parable has a direct correlation to some spiritual truth. There's usually one main point of a parable, and everything else has to be subordinate to that. So today we're going to look at the parable of the tares and the wheat in Matthew chapter 13. And if you want to turn there in your Bibles, that would be great. Matthew 13. Matthew chapter 13 will begin in verse 24. Jesus told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while everyone was sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. When the wheat sprouted and formed heads, then the weeds also appeared. The owner's servants came to him and said, "Sir, didn't you sow good seeds in your field? Where then did the weeds come from?" "An enemy did this," he replied. The servants asked him, "Do you want us to go and pull them up?" "No," he answered, "because while you are pulling the weeds, you may root up the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. At that time, I will tell the harvesters, 'First collect the weeds and tie them in bundles to be burned. Then gather the wheat and bring it into my barn.'" Now we're going to jump down to verse 36, where he explains what this parable means. "Then he left the crowd and went into the house. His disciples came to him and said, 'Explain to us the parable of the weeds in the field.' He answered, 'The one who sowed the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is in the world, and the good seed stands for the sons of the kingdom. The weeds are the sons of the evil one, and the enemy who sows them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the harvesters are angels. As the weeds are pulled up and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will weed out his kingdom, everything that causes sin and all who do evil. They will throw them into the fiery furnace, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears, let him hear." So in this parable, we're talking about the presence of these noxious weeds in a wheat field. Now, in the parable before this, Jesus is talking about the parables of the soils, and he's talking about how the seed is the Word of God and how we spread the Word of God, and that's the seed in that parable. But in this parable, we have a different meaning, and the seed is different. Here we have two sowers, we have two types of seeds, two harvests, one good harvest and one bad harvest. And I want to take, before we get into the application of this, let's take a look at what these different symbols mean. So the first thing that we have is the field. And some people have said that the field just represents the church, and that in a real church, you're going to have some weeds and you're going to have some wheat. You're going to have some good people, some bad people. But if we look back at the interpretation that Jesus gives us, the word there is cosmos, which means world or universe or earth. So this is really talking about in the world, not necessarily in the church. In the world, you're going to have good seed and bad seed. Then we have the two sowers. We have the good sower, who is the Son of Man, who is Jesus himself, and the bad sower, who is the devil, the enemy of the good sower. And when did the bad sower first sow the evil seed into the world? When do you think? Say it louder, Doug. You mouthed it correctly. Adam and Eve, that's right. Okay? That's when the evil one sowed the first bad seed. God created the world perfectly, yet the devil came and threw in the bad seed and sowed that seed. The devil is named as his enemy. That means Christ's enemy. And so we kind of have a trinity of evil versus a trinity of good. We have the Father versus the world, the Spirit versus the flesh, and the Son versus Satan. And we look at that and we think, gosh, there's a lot of evil in the world. We have these three things working against us, the world, the Satan, and the flesh. We have to remember that these things are not equal. Evil is not equal to good. Evil is not equal to God. God is triumphant over all. And so while the world maybe leading us down one path or trying to get us to sin in one way or another, or we look around and we see the evil in the world, we have to remember that God is ultimately more powerful than all the evil in the world. The enemy is sowing this seed in Christ's world. And in this world, there is evil present. But the world ultimately still belongs to Christ. And when he returns, it will be a purer world in which we live, because he's going to harvest out the wheat and harvest out the weeds. Now, when does the evil one sow the seed in this parable? He says, when the field's owners are asleep. Not that the field's owners are to blame for the seed being sown, but rather the evil one is sneaking in when no one's watching and planting this seed. The enemy here is stealthy and malicious, doing it under the cover of night. And that's really how evil works in the world, how the devil plants these seeds in the world. Because if the devil was to come and say something completely wrong and completely evil, most people would not follow that. They would recognize it as evil. But when you come in subtly and you come in amongst the wheat, it's a lot easier to get someone to take a half a step away from God's truth and then take another half a step and another half a step. And before you know it, you've walked completely away from God and what is good. It's the frog in the kettle analogy. If you take a frog, and I don't know why you would do this, but someone thought of it, throw it in boiling hot water, it'll immediately jump back out. But if you put the frog in the water and then turn the water on to boil, it will boil to death. It will never jump out of the pot. That's how the devil works today. The devil's not stupid. He's been around since Adam and Eve and before that. He knows how human beings are wired, how we work. And he puts things in our paths to lead us away from God, to lead us away from the truth, little by little. He plants that doubt, he plants that evil, he plants that evil seed to draw us away from Christ. If he only sowed the evil, it'd be easy to spot. But he sows it amongst the wheat when you can't really tell. The tares are the weeds, and they've never been a marketable product. There's no good use for them. The tares are called darnel, which is a seed that looks very much like the wheat seed. And you can't really tell the difference until they've both come to maturity. And you can see on the screen the pictures of the wheat and what the darnel seed would look like. Even when they're ripe, they look very similar. And I know you're all from Kansas, so you can tell the wheat is the one side. But if you're not trained to notice it, you will not be able to tell the difference. And the seed looks very similar. You don't tell the difference until it's ripe. Satan sows which looks good, but we know that it is not. There was actually a law in Rome at the time against maliciously sowing tares among the wheat. This is because the tares poisoned out the wheat. And there was a great effort required in removing the tares, removing the weeds. And sometimes there's even a lingering presence for years after it's been removed. It keeps growing and keeps resprouting. That's how the devil works. The wheat, or the good seed, are the children of the kingdom. In the parable of the sower, the seed was the word, but here we see the product of that seed. The wheat are the children of God. Jesus sows the good seed into the world, and those who follow him become the wheat, living out the world, waiting for his return. The parable has two questions in it. The first one was, "Sir, did you not sow good seed in your field? How then does it have tares?" The servants acknowledge that he used good seed and that it was the owner's field. And in the world, the field does belong to the world. He only spreads the word. He's only spreading good seed. So we wonder, why are the tares even allowed to exist in this field? Why is evil allowed to be active in the world? Why was the serpent allowed to go into the garden and to deceive Adam and Eve. And it's a question that Jesus lets hang there, and he doesn't answer in this parable. So we're not going to answer it in this time either. Because Jesus leaves it hanging out there. What his point is not, why is evil allowed to be in the world? The point is to watch out for the evil that is in the world. The second question is, do you want us then to go and gather them up? And he says no, because you can't tell the difference before it's ripe. If you were to try to go in and get rid of just the tares before the wheat and the tares had ripened, you would tear out some of the wheat. At the time of the harvest, the two seeds will then be separated. The angels will come and bind the wheat and bind the tares. In the harvest, there is done by Jesus, by his angels. And note that in many of Jesus' parables, he's using imagery that in the Old Testament was used solely for God. He talks about himself as the sower, the director of the harvest, the rock, the shepherd, the bridegroom, the father, the giver of forgiveness, the forgiver of sins, the vineyard owner, the Lord, and the king. All of these things were only used for God in the Old Testament, and Jesus now in the New Testament applies them to himself, showing that he and the Father are one. The tares are collected at the day of judgment, and this judgment is for those who chose not to follow Jesus. The tares are collected and burned in the furnace of fire, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. That imagery is a common phrase used to describe hell, a literal place of punishment. This is a picture of the doom that follows for those who choose to reject Jesus and reject his offer of salvation. The wheat, however, are gathered up and put into the barn, and in the barn there are no tares, and there is no fire, and there is no weeping and gnashing of teeth. This is heaven. This is the glorious place awaiting those who choose to follow Christ. Those who were once the light of the world following Jesus are now with the light of the world, Jesus Christ. So this parable teaches us a number of things. The first thing that it teaches us is to watch out for the weeds. Watch out for those who are trying to sway you to follow the things of the world. We are not to judge other people, but we also have to be discerning about what we allow into our minds, and who we spend our time with, how we spend our money, how we spend our time. Because it's really easy to say, on church, I'm a follower of Jesus. What about the rest of the week? How are you living for Christ the rest of the week? Would people know based on your actions, and based on the way that you hold yourself and the words that you say and the things that you watch and the things that you listen to? Will people really be able to know that you are weak, that you are a follower of Christ? If you said, oh yeah, I go to church every Sunday, would your friends react, well, that makes sense? Or would they react like, really? You go to church every Sunday? The other thing we get from this parable is that we need to examine ourselves. We need to make sure that in this world of deception, that we're not deceiving ourselves, that we are truly living the way we are to live, that we are truly following Christ in all areas. We need to check our motivation and make sure that our motivation for living is Jesus. Jesus, of course, made the ultimate sacrifice. He saw that sin was planted in the world with Adam and Eve. He saw that separation. He saw that we were separated from our Creator by sin. Nothing that we could do could separate that gap, could bridge that gap. And so God sent his Son Jesus to live on the earth a perfect life, and then to die on the cross for our sins. With Jesus' blood and death, he paid the price for our sins. He paid the price so that we might live with him. His resurrection promises us that there is something after death. There is life after death. And that life that Jesus offers is eternal life with him in heaven for all eternity. If you're here today and you've never made that decision to follow Christ, I encourage you, pray about it and find a trusted friend or colleague that can talk to you about that most important decision that you will ever make.
You've been listening to Pastor Kevin Daniels at Hayes Christian Church. Hayes Christian Church is a non-denominational fellowship in Hayes, Kansas. We are supported by the generosity of our members, attenders, and friends. The financial support we raise goes to projects which further spread the gospel to those who do not yet know Jesus, to local, national, and international missions, and they help to keep these podcasts free. If you'd like to share a monetary gift with us, please visit our webpage at hayeschristianchurch.org and click on the donate button, or you may mail your gift to P.O. Box 1111 Hayes, Kansas 67601. If you have questions, comments, or would like more information, we would love to hear from you. Simply go to our webpage and click on the Contact Us form. Thank you for your generosity, and may God bless you as you seek to follow Him.